Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your Holy Spirit our teacher, and your greater glory our supreme concern. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, I'd like you to have a think about this. You don't have to tell anyone, but rate the two statements here from 1 to 5. So 1 means you strongly disagree. 5 means you strongly agree. So the first statement is this: I'd love my friend to hear the Bible teaching we get in church. You don't have to tell anyone, especially don't have to tell me. Rate it 1 to 5 in your head. Have a think about that. I'd love my friend to hear the Bible teaching we get in church. And then the second statement: it's very important that we have good Bible teaching in church. Rate that 1 to 5. As you know, your real thoughts. You can game these things, can't you, in the real life? So you'd probably put 5 on both because you know that's what the vicar wants. But what do you really think? What do you really think? This section in 1 Timothy, although it may not look like it, is all about preaching and teaching God's word. All about preaching and teaching God's word. There are different things covered. So preachers' pay, discipline, Timothy's tummy, slaves and masters. But in every instance, it's talked about so that the preaching and teaching of God's word will be highly valued. Highly valued. It's kind of a tricky passage to preach because of that, because I am one of these preacher teachers, and I do a lot of it. I would think it's important. I'd want you to have 5 on both those questions. And passages like this are why I've come to this conclusion. But it doesn't just mean me. Preachers and teachers includes anyone with a Bible ministry in the church. So someone who leads a home group or who helps with our kids' club or Sunday club or midweek groups, things like that. These people are teachers of God's word. So it's about them as well. And it's all about the preaching and teaching of God's word. I hope by the end of this sermon, we'll all be putting a 5 for those statements there. Each one of those would be a strongly agree. Well, let's think first of all about preaching. What do people think of preaching? And the answer in the world around us is probably not a lot, isn't it? People are a bit suspicious of preaching. They think we spout our own ideas. We just stand up here. Maybe we spent 10 minutes beforehand thinking of something witty to say, and out it comes. It's not worth bothering with. Years back in Haringey in 1954, Billy Graham filled the stadium with 12,000 people every night for 3 months with his preaching. It was a national sensation. It was in the newspapers. It was on the radio. They had live feeds on telly. 3 months. And these days, preaching hardly gets a mention. It did get mentioned last year, 19th of May, 2018, Meghan and Harry's wedding. The Guardian said, Michael Curry's royal wedding sermon will go down in history. Well, apart from that, preaching is generally thought of as a negative term, isn't it? When people say someone's preaching, they're not saying something nice about them. I wonder what your friends and family think that you think about preaching. What do they think you think about preaching? So, a couple of made-up people here. Freddie. Freddie's family, and Freddie's friends, rather, they assume from his silence that the preaching isn't worth bothering about. They never hear about it, they know he goes to church, but he never mentions the preaching, so it can't be that poor. Fiona's family assume that actually the preaching is unimportant because she misses church so often. What do your friends, family, workmates, colleagues, what do they think you think about preaching? God wants us, and he says this through Paul, his apostle, he wants preaching and teaching to be held in high esteem. And so Paul in this letter gives us 4 things a church can do to help that. 4 things for us today. How can we raise the reputation of Bible preaching, Bible teaching? Here's the first, and it's about how we treat preachers and teachers. It's very obvious. Hold your preachers in high esteem. Hold your preachers in high esteem. The preaching and teaching of God's word, the Bible and the gospel, is vitally important. So, therefore, those who do it should be greatly valued. Have a look at verse 17. The elders, who direct the affairs of the church well, are worthy of double honour, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. For Scripture says, "Do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain," and "The worker deserves his wages." Think about when you go to visit the doctors. You respect the doctor, don't you, by and large? You respect them. Why? Well, they're the person who can help you. They might be the difference to you between life and death. They've got lots of training and background. They know stuff. At least they're going to sort out your sore throat, maybe. So you respect them. How much more so someone who handles the word of the living God? He speaks about elders here, verse 17. The elders who direct the affairs of the church. It doesn't just mean old men. It's speaking about a particular role in the church, inhabited by older people, probably. And it's people who are called into this special role of church leadership. And some of them direct the affairs of the church. They have an administrative role. If they do it well, they're worthy of honour. But he says, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. So some preach and teach. Preaching, the proclamation of God's word in a public way, in the gathering of the congregation, explaining and implying the scriptures, helping people to know about Jesus and know how to trust in him, why to trust in him, how to live for him. And then teaching is basically the same content, but done on a smaller scale with smaller groups of people, individuals, perhaps more interactive settings. So preaching and teaching. And these people are to be especially honoured. Why? Well, God's word is vital. How else do we know about Jesus? Only through his word. How can we know what to trust him for? Through the promises in his word. How do you know how to live for Jesus? Through what we read here and what is taught and preached to us. So, for us, all these years later, will we honour our Bible teachers? Now, who are we speaking about? Well, me, I'm a preacher. Our Sunday club teachers, home group leaders, midweek group Bible study leaders, those who do Pathfinders and Rooted over the road. Will we honour them? How do we honour them? Well, pray for them. Pray for them in your quiet time at home. Pray for their preparation. Pray for their understanding of God's words and their understanding of the people they're helping, teaching and preaching to. Pray for time, because there's often a flood of other things these people have to do. Pray for their help actually when they're doing it, with their delivery, with the Sunday club. Pray for their health. Pray. It's a way of honouring them, upholding them before the Lord. And prepare. There's another way of honouring them. Don't just sort of wander up as if, you know, it's not that important. Get ready for the preaching or the Sunday club. Help your children to get ready. Find out what the Bible passage is in advance. Read it in advance. Pray that God will help you understand what you're reading. Bring a pen so you can fill in the sheet and cover up the dots there. You know, these are things that honour the Bible teachers by paying attention and praying and preparing. So how we treat our preachers and teachers helps to raise the reputation of Bible teaching. Hold your preachers in high esteem. And then here's another thing that he goes on to straight away. Expect your preachers to live exemplary lives and teachers. Expect your preachers and teachers to live exemplary lives. This is number 2 on the sheets, verses 19 to 21. It's fairly straightforward, isn't it? The reputation of God's word and the preaching of God's word and the teaching of it is damaged by the sinful living of the teachers, if it's there. You know, if a minister divorces his wife, why would you listen to him speaking about love, faithfulness, and God's plan for marriage? And if you did listen to him speaking about love, faithfulness, and God's plan for marriage, you'd probably find his teaching had changed and diverted from what God says in his word. The football season's starting, isn't it? And imagine a football coach, maybe Man United, hires a football coach. Great name, this guy. And you go on YouTube and you look for his name, and there's a video there of him fumbling with a football. He seems to be unable to dribble. He shoots at the goal and misses by miles. He does a throw and it lands at his feet. Look at this guy train Man United. And you think, hang on, Man United must be a really rubbish team if they take on a coach like that. And the same with preaching, isn't it? If there's sin in the lives of our preachers and teachers, it affects what we think about what they're preaching and teaching and about what the church is like. Have a look at verse 19. Do not entertain an accusation against an elder unless it is brought by two or three witnesses. So there will be accusations that are malicious. They're not true. Ignore those. But if they are doing something wrong, verse 20, but those elders who are sinning, you are to reprove before everyone so that others may take warning. Is it important? Well, verse 21, I charge you in the sight of God and Christ Jesus, the elect angels, pretty good crowd of importance, to keep these instructions without partiality and to do nothing out of favouritism. So he's to publicly rebuke sinning teachers and preachers, even if he likes them, even if they're his favourites. He's to have no favouritism in the way he does this. The teaching about Jesus is transformational, isn't it? You know, what we hear from God's word about the Lord Jesus changes our lives, changes what we think, how we approach God, how we live our lives in the world. And we'd expect to see all that happening in the preacher's life and in those who do other teaching. And where there's sinful living in those people, that taints the teaching that we get from them. It does serious damage to the credibility of Jesus and his gospel. So when Jesus calls us to himself, when we come to Christ, he says, repent, doesn't he? He says, turn around from your other life. Recognize that you're sinful. You've fallen short of what I want. You need to realize this, and we do. And then turn to him and set him Lord over your life. This is what he says to us, repent. But that's not just when we come to Christ. It's when we continue with him, knowing that because of his death on the cross, everything we've turned away from has been wiped clean. Even as we continue our lives, we keep repenting. He says to us still, live repentant lives. Keep recognising our weaknesses. Fight sin. Seek forgiveness. Seek the help of the Holy Spirit. And that's how we live. Excuse me. But if we're not seeing that in the life of someone who's teaching us, then that does damage to the credibility of the gospel. Maybe you are someone who is a teacher of the Bible here at St. Lawrence. How is your submission to Christ in your life? Are you fighting sin? Are you seeking his help, forgiveness, and the work of the Spirit in your life? Expect your preachers to live exemplary lives. Well, he carries on a similar theme now and helps Timothy to think about how you choose preachers and teachers. Number 3, verses 22 to 25. Choose your preachers with careful discernment. Choose your preachers with careful discernment. You know, this ministry is not for everyone. It needs careful consideration. Who should be a Sunday club teacher, for example? Who should be called to be a lay reader? And that sort of thing. Have a look at verse 22. Do not be hasty in the laying on of hands. The laying on of hands is what they would do to ordain someone to the preaching and teaching ministry. That person would have been considered by the church, by the gathering of people, by the other elders. They think about what they knew about them, whether they were gifted in this. And then there would come a moment when Timothy would lay his hands on them, pray for them. And then they would be set apart for that ministry. Don't be hasty, he says to Timothy. Don't just rush in. Be careful and consider carefully the people who you appoint to this ministry. Exercise discernment. Make judgments. And that extends to everything he does, including what he drinks. He's obviously been a bit overzealous in not touching alcohol. And Paul thinks, verse 23, that it's going to help his health if he has a little bit of wine. But he also wants to see him see in this whole idea of discernment in verses 22, 24 and 25 that what sin is like and what good deeds are like. See, for some people, sin, he says, reaches the place of judgment ahead of him. In other words, it's very obvious what they're doing and what they've done, and you can't miss it. Everyone knows. But then others have hidden sins. End of the verse. The sins of others trail behind them. And you look at that person, they seem perfectly respectable. It's not until you start to work with them that you realise, oh my goodness, this is a person who bullies or something like that. And it's the same with good deeds. You know, Timothy's trying to discern who should be a preacher. Good deeds are obvious. And even those that are not obvious cannot remain hidden forever, ever. There are some people who do good things secretly and quietly, and you'll realise eventually who they are. So how do we choose preachers and teachers? Choose your preachers with careful discernment. It's obvious, isn't it? I mean, we do this in the world, don't we? So when we're thinking about choosing a teacher at a school, the process they go through, we'd want them to be doing things like thinking about that person's education and skills, and whether they're an appropriate person to work with children, have they got a criminal background of any sort. We'd want to rule all these things out. We want to be careful about who you have a school teacher. How much more with a preacher of God's word. So, how can we uphold the reputation of preaching and teaching so far? Hold your preachers in high esteem. Expect your preachers to live exemplary lives. Choose your preachers with careful discernment. And you might think, well, I don't do a lot of choosing of preachers and teachers. Never mind, store it away. Pray for those who do. And listen carefully to the next point, because this is right. This is for all of us. It's about how we behave. Help out your preachers by living out truth and godliness. Help your preachers by living out truth and godliness. Chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. What the world thinks about the church's preaching and teaching will be affected by how we live in the world around us. It's very obvious. The logic is there. The preaching of God's word, as we hear about Jesus, transforms our lives. So if a life isn't transformed, then you can't have heard good stuff and the preaching must be rubbish. Are we behaving badly at work? That reflects on what happens here in church. Oh, they go to church, don't they? What are they hearing then, if that's okay? Here Paul is talking about the situation of slaves and masters. Have a look at verse 1 of chapter 6. All who are under the yoke of slavery should consider their masters worthy of full respect, so that God's name and our teaching may not be slandered. Now, the slavery that he's talking about is closer to what we now think of as employment than the slavery that we think of in the 17th and 18th centuries, or even the modern slavery today. So it's more like employment. It's not as nice, not as well regulated as employment. But you might have had someone like Rufus, made up Christian in the first century, who was a first century slave, and he came to faith in Christ. Well, then how Rufus goes about doing his work as a slave. Now, maybe he was a household slave and he would sweep the floors and clean the place up. Or maybe he worked with his master in a more administrative way and did accounts and things like that. And slaves would do that. They were like employees in a way. However he did that, as someone who'd come to faith in Christ, the way he did that would reflect on his love for Christ, for one thing, but also on the church that he went to in Ephesus and what they were teaching. But then bring that to the 21st century. Rachel, a 21st century cleaner, let's say, who's come to Christ. How she goes about her cleaning in the office or at someone's home, that's going to affect what they think of what she hears at church. If she goes about it in a surly, grumpy way, they'll think, oh, this Jesus that she hears about, he can't be very good. What are they teaching her at church? All who are under the yoke of slavery should consider their masters worthy of full respect, verse 1, so that God's name and our teaching may not be slandered. Those who have been believing masters should not show them disrespect just because they're fellow believers. They would meet them at church and they'd know them. So maybe they'd be tempted to think, oh, it's all right with him, I can, you know, lark around. No, don't show them disrespect just because they're fellow believers. Instead, they should serve them even better because their masters are dear to them as fellow believers and are devoted to the welfare of their slaves. Hint to the masters there. How do you respond to Jesus in your life? You change the way you treat your slaves. And earlier in the letter, he's been talking, hasn't he, about this kind of thing. In truth, how the truth of Jesus leads to godliness in our lives. And we're to train ourselves to be godly. So for the master and the slave in their godliness is to respect their master and work hard. The master in his response to the truth about Jesus is to be devoted to the welfare of his slave. The impact, it's great, isn't it? 6 verse 1. God's name can be honoured and the teaching wouldn't be slandered. Now, What impact does your lifestyle have on the people around you and their view of the Bible teaching you get? It'd be great, wouldn't it, to think that the way we live would lead to God's name being honoured and the church's teaching being respected. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I wonder, do you ever talk about the Sunday sermon with people around you? Over coffee at church, perhaps? Or when you go home with your family? Or on Monday morning by the coffee machine? Do you talk about the sermon? How will they know if we value God's teaching if we don't talk about it? What kind of impact will we have if we do? Someone told me, oh, I use these notes. I was thinking about not bothering doing them anymore. But they said, no, I use those. I take them home and I use them to talk with my family about what we've heard in the sermon. Brilliant idea. Great, so I'm still doing them. Help your preachers by living out truth and godliness. So, what do you think, rating these 1 to 5? I'd love my friend to hear the Bible teaching we get in church. It's very important that we have good Bible teaching in church. Preaching, teaching, it's this role that I've got, but it's not just this, it's Sunday club leaders, it's home group leaders, midweek group leaders, anyone with a Bible ministry in church. Perhaps from what you've heard this morning in this passage, there you've thought of a way that you need to change your attitude, or your behaviour. Let me just go through those points again. And as I do, if you haven't thought of a way to change yet, have a think now. How can I be different? What can I do differently so that the reputation of God's word and the teaching of God's word could be raised? Will you hold your preachers and teachers in high esteem? Will you expect your preachers and teachers to live exemplary lives? Will you choose your preachers and teachers with careful discernment? Will you help your preachers and teachers by living out truth and godliness? Let's pray. Work in our hearts, Heavenly Father, we pray. And help us to change our thinking, our attitudes, our behaviour, according to your word and what we've seen and heard this morning. We long that in this country, people wouldn't just hear one sermon a year, but people would love to hear of your teaching through the word proclaimed. And we thank you that here at St. Lawrence, we have so many great opportunities here in the service, but with the kids' club and everything else as well. And we pray for our preachers and teachers here. Lord, help them in all their preparation. Help them in their lives to live for you. Help us as we come across new people to think about for roles. Help us to be discerning. And help each one of us, we pray, as we live out our Christian lives, to be a witness to those around us of how great your word is. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.